Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hi, everyone. And before we get to Bill Thompson and your memories of soupy sales later in the program, we're setting up a page on our website for you to remember soupy sales. So much web traffic over the weekend. Oh, my goodness. People remembering that kind of cult figure comedian in New York. So we'll talk about soupy sales later on and other things today, including paid sick days as a right that some people would like to be see it established as for all workers. That's a movement in New York today. But before we get to all of that, thanks again to everyone who donated during our membership drive last week. This audience, you guys, really show up when it comes to taking responsibility for keeping independent radio going in the New York area. So thanks again to everyone. And now, 30 issues in 30 days. Our New York-New Jersey election series, issue 26, Education and the Mayoral Race. It's the issue that Michael Bloomberg originally said to judge him on when he was first elected, and it's the topic of Bloomberg's most constant attacks on his rival, Bill Thompson, for example.
Today, the schools are a lot better than they were before. And if you're going to look to the future, comparing what we've both done and the same thing in the past is as good a way as to do it as any.
And that's just the beginning of what he's been saying. We will talk a little about their records, but mostly about what would be of the most concern to you if you're involved with the schools or have children coming up, what they will do differently, these two candidates, over the next 4 years. We'll talk to a Bloomberg education official in a few minutes. Democratic candidate Bill Thompson is with us first right now. And Mr. Controller, thanks for coming on again. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good. I want to start here. The Times last week went back and told the story of how you bucked Mayor Giuliani in the 90s when you were president of the Board of Ed under the old system, around when Chancellor Rudy Crewe started to fall out of favor. Would you tell us some of your version of that? Mayor Rudy originally liked Chancellor Rudy, didn't he?
Yes, he did. They had a very close relationship at one point and had worked well together. But as the situation, as the relationship continued, it seemed to deteriorate. I think a lot of that was over the voucher issue, that Mayor Giuliani wanted to do vouchers in the public school system. I think that Chancellor Crewe had opposed it. I had opposed it, and others did also. And I think, but that was kind of the beginning of the falling out between the two of them.
And the article says that you finessed the appointment of Crewe's successor after he was forced to resign, Chancellor Harold Levy, over Giuliani's objections. Can you tell us what you did there?
Well, I thought I had asked people to keep an open mind until the end. And it really came down to two individuals. It came down to Bob Kiley, who the mayor wanted, who was the head of the New York City Partnership, and Harold Levy, who had been a member of the New York State Board of Regents. Or not had been. He was a member of the New York State Board of Regents, understood educational philosophy, educational theory, had been involved in trying to push standards up, and I thought was a better candidate after the interviews than Bob Kiley was.
What was at stake, in your opinion?
The direction of the public school system, whether or not things like vouchers would be included, whether the focus would be on the students or whether it be on the Rudy Giuliani's focus was not on education for our children. And I just thought that Harold Levy, after the interviews, because I kept an open mind also and had asked the other members of the board to do the same thing. I thought that Harold was the superior candidate.
What do you think is Giuliani's education legacy since you were Board of Ed president at that time?
Well, I think that if you look, and obviously he had been supportive of an education chancellor like Rudy Crewe, at least at the beginning until the falling out. So I think that there was definitely Rudy Crewe was a good educator who helped move that system forward. I think that under, you know, it's almost the time that I was there, that Giuliani was the mayor, improved reading scores and improved math scores. And you know, he was supportive of the legislative change that put someone in charge for the first time, that changed the decentralization and almost recentralized the system in 1996. So he'd have to get some credit for that also.
Okay. Going forward, and we're going to open up the phones for a few minutes for Bill Thompson on this very specific question. Listeners, don't go back to the record. We've heard a lot of that in the campaign commercials and in the debates. We want to know what any question you have for Bill Thompson about the next 4 years. All right. So let's get specific. We're only going to take questions on the New York City public schools and the future for Democratic mayoral candidate Bill Thompson at 212-433-WNYC. If you have any, 212-433-9692 on the next 4 years and the New York City public schools. And going forward, Mr. Controller, what are the biggest three things that you would do differently than Mayor Bloomberg with the schools in the next 4 years, if mayoral control winds up in the hands of Mayor Thompson?
I think the first thing is to hire an educator as the school's chancellor. I think it's important that a chancellor be hired with a solid and extensive education background. Hire a chancellor who cares not only about the children, but understands that he or she understands the fundamentals of what goes on in a classroom and respects the work that teachers and principals perform each day. I think that's important. Secondly, I think it is very important that we fix curriculum and fix the curriculum so our schools are not just teaching to the test, but teaching a whole child. Comprehension, critical thinking, I think those are important skills. Rather than just teach our children, as one student had said in a daily news article, we've been taught to memorize things. I think we need to get past that. And then I think things like, and you're going to say stay with three, I think we have to reduce class size and alleviate overcrowding. And what we've seen is schools all across the city of New York in each district become more overcrowded in spite of the fact that New York City has received money to create lower class size. And I think as part of that also, I just think it is more than anything, it's we need to involve parents again in the school system. So that might be a fourth. But I think it's very important that we bring parents into a school system. They've been shut out for the last 8 years. We need parental involvement to be able to really make sure that education moves forward.
Well, not surprisingly to you, I'm sure, our 10 phone lines immediately filled up when we invited people to call and ask questions about the next 4 years. And right on line one, Mary in Chelsea has a question about one of the very things you just listed. Mary, you're on WNYC with Bill Thompson. Hello.
Good morning, Brian and Bill, and future mayor, Mr. Thompson. I love what you just said. I'm the PTA president of PS11, and I know you guys saw me on the cover of Chelsea Now at our last rally. I'm actually inviting you, Mr. Thompson, to our next rally before Election Day.
Okay.
Here's my question for you. PS11 is a Title I school in Chelsea, in Manhattan. We are in a district that is known for being a wealthy district. However, Mr. Thompson, we are a Title I school. We are an anomaly, which means the majority of our children live at or below the poverty line. We have told the Bloomberg's DOE, who has failed us, completely failed us. We have told them our kids live at or below the poverty line.
Mary, I need you to get to a question. Sorry.
The question is this. What would you do, Mayor? We're overcrowded. We need the middle school in our building to move out. We're getting delays from the DOE. How would you move faster? How would you make the bureaucratic system move faster to save children of the working poor from overcrowding?
All right. There's the overcrowding issue that you raised, and she wants to know how in that specific instance.
Well, I've done a few reports that have looked at overcrowding and the structure that the Department of Education uses to look at where new schools should be, and it is a flawed method that they use. Instead of looking at, they look at the larger school district rather than looking at neighborhoods. They need to look at neighborhoods, and I think the Manhattan Borough President, Scott Stringer, has also done a number of reports, and we stood together on those. It is looking at overcrowding on a school-by-school basis. And as we see overcrowding, we're starting to work along with the community to find additional space. If we can't build a new school or find the space for a new school, then it's finding lease space and space that we could move into, that we could could renovate and move students into. Right now, that is not being done in that way. It's being done, and also parents are being ignored. If you look in a couple of our school districts, I think School District 2, as an example, the parents worked. The parents put forward the alternatives. They found space for new schools. They found lease space that could be used. We need to. That's an opportunity to involve parents in planning for the future, but also looking at things not on a district basis because it presents a distorted view. Looking at it on a neighborhood basis and looking at overcrowding in that way.
How are you going to find the money to alleviate overcrowding? How are you going to find the money to reduce class size in this environment when we're suffering education budget cuts to the city from the state, as you know, and even on the city level because of the budget and tax revenues right now? If you reduce class size, it means, I guess, you have to hire even more teachers. How are you going to afford it?
Well, the unfortunate thing is New York City had been receiving dollars for smaller class size for years now. And what they've been doing is they've been giving money to schools that can't reduce class size or aren't going to reduce class size. So, and not creating that focus on reducing class size. It's something that we may be in tough times right now, and it may be harder to do. But in good times, as things could get better, then we need to create that focus. And in good times, when we're getting extra money from the state, Department of Education failed to do that. So I think it's looking at not just bad times, it's looking at good times also. And there has been additional dollars that have been there for capital, for capital construction or renovation. The city of New York isn't putting the dollars where it's needed.
Linda in Brighton Beach, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Yes, I would like to ask the question, what does Mr. Thompson think of school surveillance, metal detectors, and police in schools?
Well, when it comes to police in schools, and that is one of the, you know, areas that you'd like to see more sensitivity given, you want to make sure that schools remain safe, that schools are safe, and that the environments in there protect teachers and students and those inside. So I'm not against, depending upon the school, I'm not against metal detectors because you want to make sure that those schools are safe. The one thing, it is in the training that we give to school safety agents and others, I don't want to see. And one of the things over the years, you're seeing an increase of students being arrested for things that, you know, I think a lot of us might have been involved in when we were kids, fist fights and things like that. You don't want to see a student with a criminal record, with an arrest on their record because of a thing like a fist fight. So I think it's the need to involve school administrators more in the decisions about what happens with our students. I think that's important. And, you know, so it's tough to do, but I think working along with police, along with school safety, and our educators, that should be how the decisions are made. But the first thing we do have to do is to make sure that environments are safe and schools are safe.
Linda, did you get the answer you were looking for?
Well, I was particularly concerned about Bloomberg's position of taking out this, you know, so-called criminal behavior and creating schools for those students who are disruptive.
Well,
and creating a different type of school that, you know, really kind of creates a sort of undercurrent of a criminal class, quote unquote.
No, but I think the one thing that you don't want to do, the students and teachers who are in schools, and now we're talking about extreme situations. We're not talking about the average student who gets involved in a pushing match or a fist fight or something. We're talking about a student who may be disruptive on a constant basis, who, you know, the threat of violence is there. Then, you know, you have a responsibility to the larger number of students to make sure that they can learn and the environment for them is safe. It isn't to say that you put all students in a school and label all of them criminals. That's not right either. Perhaps they're in smaller classes. You have additional focus for some of those students. Mm-hmm. You have you work with them on or counseling and mediation and other things like that, so that they can also understand where they're wrong.
But you wouldn't promise to undo or abolish the idea of those separate schools, which seems to be what Linda is asking for.
No, I don't think you can do that. I think what you can do is understand that every student is different, and all students or having problems you may not want to lump them into one, you know, one difficult situation. You want to work to make sure that there are proper settings for those students.
Okay. My guest is Democratic mayoral candidate Bill Thompson. As we do issue 26 in 30 issues in 30 days, our election series, education and the mayoral race. We have a few more minutes, then we'll talk to a Bloomberg education official. And that guest, Mr. Controller, will be Chris Cerf, who has been one of those in charge of innovation in the schools. That's actually in his title. What do you think you would do that would be the most innovative?
I think it is the change in curriculum again and getting away from this obsessive George Bush, No Child Left Behind focus on standardized testing. I think we've seen the flaws in that. I think New York City students, just like New York State students, are doing better on the state test. But when it comes to other measures, when it comes to things like the federal test called the NAEP, given every 2 years, New York City is flat. When it comes to SAT scores, we've seen a constant decline.
But let me stay with innovation. When you say curriculum, what do you mean? What would you do in the curriculum? I mean, you're saying innovate in the curriculum, but you're also saying not as much dependence on standardized tests. I'm not sure if that's exactly part of the same answer, but how would you innovate in the curriculum?
I think we'd like to make sure that schools teach things like reading and writing. We're seeing a number of our students who can't write. I think things like science and civics, history, art, music education, phys ed, those should all be part of a curriculum, and we're seeing them start to disappear. So I think that, given where we're at these days, that is innovative. That starts to look at a curriculum that creates a whole child, not one that is just focused on taking standardized tests. That's what we've seen in the last 8 years.
Are there any standardized tests that you would abolish or reduce the number of, specifically in the New York City public schools?
It's not a question of reducing the number. It's reducing the focus on them and starting to look at things like how students do during the entire school year and teacher recommendations and other things. So it is not saying that we're not going to have standardized tests. It's reducing the emphasis that we place on standardized testing.
Tim in Long Island City on WNYC. Hi, Tim.
Thank you, gentlemen. Bill, I have a question about the fellowship program. I was an applicant, did not get selected, but thought it was a very good process in selecting qualified teachers for our school. I wanted to get your view on it, and also if you do like it, how would you fund it?
Do you have the school's the fellows program?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're seeing teachers that are coming through that program now, teachers who have different backgrounds, who might not have been in school for taking education as their prime thing, who have come from other walks of life. I think that makes sense to give them support, to let them go into the Teaching Fellows program. And then you've seen a number of teachers who didn't start out as teachers who have become good teachers. And I think it is a program that still continues. It's a program that I'd continue. I think that, bringing teachers from other walks of life who are interested in teaching children, I think that that can be valuable. I obviously think that those who go in and go to school, and college for education, I applaud them. Those are teachers we really need. But also bringing teachers from other backgrounds who decide as they move through their career that they'd like to become teachers. I think the Teaching Fellows Program is valuable.
Do I recall that that's suspended as of now because of a hiring freeze? Is that accurate?
I think that right now there are some issues with it, but it is something that you'd want to, you're seeing pools of teachers right now that aren't being placed, experienced teachers, and you'd want to get them in the classrooms. But as we move along, as the demand increases again, you'd like to go back to a Teaching Fellows program.
One other thing on education, and then I want to get a quick answer from you on the economy, because that's going to be our issue tomorrow with other guests. But do you think that teacher pay should be tied to performance in any way that it's not today in New York City? Because that's a big agenda of President Obama's Education Secretary, Arne Duncan, and I think that's going to wind up getting debated in New York in a new way.
Yeah, I think that you're seeing bonuses now based on success for teachers, but they're based on, not just the individual teachers, it's built on school communities. I think that's a better model. I think if you start to single out teachers and say to them, here's bonus pay within schools, that are different from one class to another, I think it starts to create real problems. So I think teaching is, in a lot of ways, very collaborative. And again, it is based purely on standardized testing, and I still think that that's a mistake.
Now, before you go, tomorrow the issue in this series will be the economy. Give us a preview by telling us what would be at the heart of the Bill Thompson plan to create jobs to alleviate the high unemployment that we have today.
Well, I think that as we look to create jobs, I'd like to see greater aid towards small business, business growth, and support across the city of New York in that area. I think that we really need to start to tie things together and probably looking at the president's call as he talks about lining up community colleges, really a demand-driven economy where we start to tie our training and dollars there into training people for the jobs of the future. I think that those are all important things. I've talked about other things like maintaining and expanding manufacturing space. In the city of New York, there is demand for additional manufacturing space. Things like the garment industry, we're looking to expand and have additional space, protecting that. But I think what we need is to look at a balanced economic development strategy. So small business, Wall Street, tourism and other things, but we need to, as well as those who are self-employed, who continue to be probably about 20% of our workforce, we need to create that focus there. So that's what I would look to do to help to grow jobs, which is probably the number one issue in the city of New York these days.
All right. Bill Thompson, Democratic candidate for mayor, thank you very much for coming on again. We always appreciate it.
Good talking to you, Brian.
And we will get a view on education and the next 4 years from one of the top education officials for Mayor Bloomberg, now officially with the campaign, but he's been with the school system as a top innovation official, Christopher Cerf. And a reminder that tomorrow night at 7, you can join me for a live online chat simultaneous to the mayoral debate. It'll be on Channel 7 and on WNYC, and we can comment on it together in real time during our simultaneous online chat during the mayoral debate at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at WNYC.org. Christopher Cerf, next.